Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone here in the sanctuary at First United Church of Christ. Welcome to everyone listening on the radio. Welcome to everyone watching on YouTube. We are glad that you took the time to be with us this morning. A few announcements. I'll quick run through those that are in the bulletin. And then I have one that isn't in the bulletin. So today our liturgist is Christy, my wife. Radio sponsor is Steve and Marcy Thurwachter in memory of Marcy's parents, Merton and Shirley Maley's anniversary on February 7th. And just to remind you that our Stock the Schools campaign, we have donations in February, shelf-stable snack items. The Sunday School is putting together birthday bags for the Sauk Prairie Food Pantry, and they are collecting donations of cake mixes, frosting, birthday plates, napkins, balloons, birthday candles through the end of the month. And our adult education, we don't meet this week. We will reconvene next Sunday, and our topic next Sunday will be old traditions versus new ways. Why the change? Cliff Lawton had questions around that, and we hope that Cliff is able to be there to participate in that conversation. All right, so the announcement that is not in your bulletin. Thursday evening, Mary Breinig's daughter, Emma, and her friend, Ian, had a house fire, and it was a total loss. Thankfully, everyone was fine, including the dog. They were able to get out quickly, but they are effectively homeless at the moment, and they are without clothes or any personal items. So family and some friends from her work have helped them get the basics at the moment, but if anyone is interested in donating gift cards of any type, we can make a special offering to the church in their name. And then Dean let me know this morning that there is a GoFundMe page set up. I don't have the details on that, but maybe Dean, if you talk with him after service. Okay. It is our tradition then at this point in the service that we always go through our welcome statement, and I won't read it verbatim, but I just want, it's a nice tradition that we remind everyone that we are an open and affirming congregation, that everyone is welcome here, no matter who you are, what you believe, your orientation of any kind, you are welcome here at First United Church of Christ. Time for our moment of silence. So sit back, take a deep breath and relax, close your eyes maybe, let go of the burdens of the week, and listen for and feel God's presence.
Good morning. Would you please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin and on the screen? Please rise if you are able. Beloveds, as we gather today, let us open our hearts and minds to the expansive love of God. Just as love makes room for all things, let us make room for God's presence in our lives. Let us allow love to flow through us and transform us into instruments of grace for the world. Let us worship with open hearts, knowing that in sacred love, we can only find acceptance and belonging.
Now, please remain standing for our opening hymn. It's number 402 in the New Century Hymnal, De Dolores. Thank you, Denny. That was a bouncy little tune. I like that. And please join in our prayer of unburdening. Holy Mother and Father, too often we forget that love is not like pie. We think that you cannot love those others who are not like us. We grow exhausted with all the need and all the pain in the world and want to shut our eyes and ears. We ask you to broaden our hearts and minds to make space for love in our community and our lives. May we make room for compassion, kindness, and for loving as you love in all our interactions. Guide us to find where we might expand empathy and understanding. Help us create deeper connections with those around us. Amen. And now hear his assurance of grace. God's love is boundless, flowing and gushing into the universe, into us, into our church, this love can help us to broaden, widen, deepen our souls. Love makes room. There is love enough for all of us. And for this, we all say out loud, thanks be to God.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near.
Please be seated. It's now time for our choir anthem. Now it's kids' time, and Margaret is going to lead that today. So if anyone would like to come down, Margaret, here you go. Hold on.
Good morning. Good to see you. How is everybody today? Good. There's something coming up at the end of this week. What am I thinking of? Something, Leo? Valentine's Day, yes, on Friday. So Valentine's Day is coming up. It's a day to celebrate not just love, but friendship. And some people celebrate it, some people don't. Sometimes you celebrate in your classrooms at school, or you might give a friend a Valentine. So many forms of celebrating love and Valentine's Day. Now, I always think of hearts when I think of Valentine's Day, because hearts stand for love, right? And I want you to do something thinking about your heart that's inside you. I want you to make a fist. Okay, make a fist. Take a look at your fist. Did you know that the human heart is the size of a large fist? The heart's the source of our life force. It pumps the blood through the veins, keeping us alive. But there's also an emotional heart, the heart connected to our feelings that goes deeper than the physical heart inside our bodies. So there's the symbol of the heart, the shape. Then there's a heart, different shape in our body. Keeps us alive, keeps things pumping. And then there's emotional heart. It helps with our, it's connected to our feelings. And love is a feeling. We hear a lot about love in the Bible. Of course, the biggest one, that God loves us. Today, here in church, the scripture readings have to do with love. In Luke 6, 27 to 31, we're encouraged to love our enemies and do good to those who hate you. Is that an easy thing to do? No, it's not. No. But yet God wants us to do it. Can we do that? Yes. Yeah. So let's say something happens at school. Someone pushes you in the hall, and your reaction is to maybe push them back. But God says, love them, forgive them, and move on. God wants us to forgive everyone, and he wants us to make room in our hearts for everyone, even the people that maybe aren't kind to us. We want to do to others like we want them to do and treat us. Also today is Romans 12, 9 through 18. It encourages people to love and live in harmony with everyone. Again, have room for all people. And this passage emphasizes that love is not just a feeling. So here I told you love's a feeling. Now it's not just a feeling, but an action. Love can be an action that involves putting our love into practice. Do you remember our bulletin board? We looked at it a couple weeks ago. It's right when you walk into the Ed building. Our bulletin board has a tree, and it has hearts on it. And it says, love is an action for our Sunday school. What does that mean? Love is an action for our Sunday school. Action thing you do. Do we do anything to show love? We do. Think about it a minute. Lots of things, and we went through the different hearts on the branches. Can anyone remember? Leo? Kind, yep, we're kind to people. Caring. What are helpful? What are some caring things we do? Sure, yeah. What do we collect here at church to help? We collect money. Remember Mabel's building mission? We sent them money to build a shelter, a house. Birthday bags. Yes, now you're on it. These are things we do. There are actions. So we're collecting supplies to put together birthday bags for the food pantry, and then they hand them out to recipients. What else do we collect? What else do we do here? Do you remember the food table we had in the fall? We called it our heart. Table. We collected food for the food pantry. How about December? What did we collect before Christmas? We brought gifts of, what did you bring? You might have brought books. Did you bring toys? Did you bring some things for teens? Yes, to help excite little people. We collect gently used toys and things for teens to make their holidays happy. Okay. What else have we done? What else does our Sunday school do? What did I see Penny and her friend do today? We do things here in church, right, to show our love. So if we can light the candles, if we can hand out the bulletins, if we can come up front for the children's sermon, we're participating. And also, when we did like the Christmas program, we were sharing our thoughts and our ideas with everyone in a fun way and giving them the message. We also do some things for other people. We make things, cards and things. Do you remember in the fall we made cards for veterans to thank them? And now what are we doing? What are we working on? We are making for, what's, okay, for the assisted livings. Yes, for Valentine's Day. So back to Valentine's Day. We want to brighten people's day. So sometimes we make cards. A few of you did make some cards, some placemats. And this year we also decided to make a big banner. So maybe a few of you could open that up. Remember, it stretches pretty far. Hey, watch out for the microphones there. There you go. Come on back this way, Leo. There you go. We have a lot of coloring to do today, as you can see. But the kids have been working on this a little at a time. And so we're going to take this one to the Pines to share with them and brighten their Valentine's Day. You can kind of fold it back together, put it down so your arms don't get tired. And then in the spring, we'll make some other cards and fun things that we will take to Maplewood Village. So we kind of spread it around. One more thought as we were talking about love and doing things. Penny, what did you and Leo do a few weeks ago that we talked about in Sunday school? What did you do there? Yes. And what day of the week did you do that? Was it on Saturday? Okay. So a few weeks ago on Saturday, Penny and Leo went with their dad and they worked at the food pantry. That's an excellent thing to do. So sometimes we do things all together as a church. Sometimes our Sunday school does things, and sometimes our individual families or just us. You can do kind things all by yourself. All right, we are showing our actions, our feelings, and sharing our love. All right, how about we say a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these young people who show love as an action. Strengthen and guide them as they continue to follow Jesus, and help our church to be supportive and to love them and show how much we care that they're part of God's family. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, we're off to Sunday school, but Mrs. Deal's going to meet you at the back there. You can take it up with you.
The epistle reading today comes from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Thank you, Christy. Our gospel reading is from the sixth chapter of Luke, verses 27 to 31. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I realize that I forgot one important announcement this morning. I'll just take a minute here before I get into the message. Pastor Jennifer is at a retreat this weekend, just down the road at Holy Wisdom Monastery in Middleton, and she will be back next week, so lest you worry. Just one time for me. All right, let's start with a prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our epistle lesson from Romans 12 says, let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. Extend hospitality to strangers. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I chose Luke 6 for our gospel reading today. But all four of the gospels have a similar message. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, teacher, what commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love your Lord the God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in Mark 12, 30 and 31, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And finally, in John chapter 13, 34 and 35, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So a little variation on a theme, but all four Gospels talk about the importance, and how it's one of the two most important commandments, according to Jesus, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. So I've stood up here in the past and shared some thoughts on the topic of loving your neighbor. You've heard me say that if you're only going to remember one thing from the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself is the most important takeaway. I've shared my struggles with living out that commandment from Jesus, and I've shared some inherent biases all humans have that make it difficult to love others who don't think the same way we do. Today, I would like to approach this topic from a different angle. I want to talk to you about the idea that love makes room for all. I'll start with a struggle going on inside me. I have convictions about what is right and what is wrong. I believe I need to stand up and work for justice and act against those who are intentionally working to oppress others who are not like them. But I also hear Jesus' words to love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is tension between these two voices. And I think we can all relate to this on some level. How can I stand up for what I believe while also heeding the call to love? How do we balance that? Bishop Michael Curry, the 27th presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, shared his thoughts on this topic in episode 48 of the Faith for Normal People podcast last October. His thoughts were helpful framing the idea for me that love makes room for all. And I want to share a summary of his words with you. Bishop Curry says, "How do we stand up and sit down and wash the feet of others? We've got to do both at the same time, which is what Jesus did. Imagine Jesus at the Last Supper, where he put the towel on, and he probably got on his knees, and he washes his disciples' feet. And yet, at the same time, he teaches them. He's teaching them by washing their feet, but he also teaches them by saying, 'A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another.'" And then you get all of the teachings in John chapters 13 through 17, which sort of are like Jesus giving his disciples, "This is what I need you to know before I'm taken away from you by the powers of the world, because I'm going to be taken away. I know what's coming, and this is what you need to know." So you see, Jesus actually teaching authoritatively, and yet doing so in the context of profound humility. One of the things that Bishop Curry talks about in his book, Love is the Way, Holding On to Hope in Troubling Times, was a particular experience where he had to learn to both stand and kneel at the same time, to have some convictions, and not to be disingenuous about those, but also to realize that others have convictions that may be equally compelling to them. They are children of God, just like he is. And so he needs to stand for both what I believe, and yet kneel before them and honor the image of God that dwells in them, and listen and learn from them. Back to some direct quotes from Bishop Curry. I realize that sometime you need to learn how to stand and kneel at the same time. I just believe that that's true for all of us. Part of my religious faith, which is a conviction about us being created in the image and likeness of God, is that confers a value of dignity upon every one of us, infinite value and dignity, and we equally share it, equally bear it, if you will. Well, if that's true, then one of the convictions that I hold is I must honor you and make space for you, just as I make space for myself. You see what I'm saying? So while it seems like it's contradictory, it's not. The same God who tells me you shall love your neighbor as yourself is the same one who says, stand up for truth, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice. You've got to do both, if you will, in order to be able to live with some semblance of integrity. To pretend that you don't have any convictions or beliefs, that's probably disingenuous for any of us to say. But to pretend that what I believe and know is superior to what you do, that's arrogant. Conviction without humility is dangerous. Remember how the Ten Commandments begin. Only God is all-wise, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Only God is God. I'm not. It's quite liberating to realize that. It's helpful to have a reminder of that, to learn to live in my lane, crowned a little bit lower than the angels, as the psalmist says, but crowned by God. There's a liberation in that so that I don't have to pretend to dominate anyone else. I can simply be the Michael that God created me to be, and be that with as much authenticity as I can discover or muster, to live into the image of God that dwells in me. And I will discover the real Michael, the true Michael, the authentic Michael. And when I do that, then I don't have to dominate anyone. I stand as who I am, and I stand in relationship to others. Continuing, with Bishop Curry's words. Desmond Tutu made popular a traditional teaching from southern Africa called Ubuntu, which kind of flipped Descartes on his head. Remember, Descartes says, "I think, therefore I am." Well, Ubuntu says, "I am because we are." The notion of individual solitary existence is fiction. We are all the result of networks of relationships and community and social realities. And when we intentionally seek to live that way, that creates a different way of being. Paul had a take on this in his letter to the church at Corinth. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that is often read at weddings, where Paul is talking about love and all that kind of stuff. One of the things it took me a while to realize is that Paul didn't write that thinking about a wedding. He wrote it to a church that was destroying itself by factions and divisions that were ego-centered, that were centered on self-centeredness, the self-centeredness, sometimes righteousness, that sees me as the center of the universe, and you and everybody else who's not part of my world as on the periphery. That is a formula. Dr. King called it the reverse Copernican revolution. Instead of the sun being the center of the galaxy, I am. And that is the most destructive. That is the prideful hubris that ancient Christian writers used to talk about as the root of all sin. And it will destroy families. It will destroy communities. It will destroy nations. And that unenlightened self-centeredness left untethered could destroy part of God's very creation, this earth where we live, by human selfishness that will not care to do what we need to do to care for this creation. Paul sees that going on and then says, there is a way out of this. Jesus taught us a way out of this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, you can have all the religion you want, you can preach all day, you can speak in all the unknown tongues you want, but if you do not have love at the center of your being, if it is not at the center of gravity in your life, that if it's not guiding you and giving you a sense of direction, then none of it matters. That's where Paul sees love as the selfless way that leads to the discovery of the true self. So now I want to switch gears and share another idea about love and how it makes room for all. It is the Sikh tradition, and I think most of us maybe are familiar with Sikh as the pronunciation, but the correct pronunciation is Sikh. And it is the Sikh tradition of wisdom and love. And this was presented by Valerie Kaur in episode 45 of the Faith for Normal People podcast. See a trend. Now you know what I listen to all the time. Valerie is a lawyer, best-selling author, spiritual leader, and founder of the Revolutionary Love Project, which is both a movement and a powerful learning hub designed to help people learn about loving ourselves and others. And now I will quote Valerie's words. The Sikh tradition is a faith of love. Sikh literally means one who learns and is always learning. The Sikh faith is one of the world's largest faith traditions. It's one of the youngest at around 500 years old. There are 23 million Sikhs worldwide and 500,000 Sikhs in the United States. The origin story goes that Nanak was a singer and poet who meditated by the river every morning for years. He suddenly disappeared. 3 days later, he was found in the cremation grounds covered in ash. His older sister, Nanki, found him, and the only thing that Nanak uttered was, "There is no Hindu, there is no Muslim." Now, this is radical. It doesn't even make sense. It was not "see no stranger" or "there is no stranger." It was like, "There is no you against me at all. We are all one." He began to preach this concept, to sing the concept of Ik Ankar, which means oneness ever unfolding. And this became the heart of the Sikh faith. You are part of the one. I am part of the one. There is nothing outside of the one. We're all part of a oneness that's unfolding in wondrous multiplicity. And that oneness inspires a kind of love, a kind of revolutionary love. For I see you as a part of me and that I do not, I see you as a part of me that I do not yet know. Then I must stand up for you when you are in harm's way. The heart of the heart of Sikh wisdom is Ikankar, is oneness. Everything flows from there. To acknowledge our connection with the earth and with each other, with ourselves, all the way up to the stars. That is the root of all wisdom. If you begin with that root and you let that truth nourish you, and you speak from that and you act from that and you think from that and you be from that, then that is how you walk the path of love. If you believe and feel that interconnection, then you trust that anything you do from that place is doing right by internal wisdom. And that can look many different ways. There are no rules in the Sikh tradition, no commandments. There is no prescription. It's an invitation to walk a path where your deepest wisdom, your understanding, and your felt senses of that connection aligns with your words and actions. And so that wisdom, if it's about action, if it's not about just an idea to hold, but a way of moving through the world, the way of being in the world, then what does it mean if I can look upon the face of anyone or anything around me and say, you are a part of me that I do not know yet? All the Sikh ancestors believe that wisdom landed in the heart through music, through poetry, through art. That's why the sound, that's why the music, that's why poetry that gets you out of language, because even language is in duality, noun and subject, I over here versus you over there. And so we're using these tools as channels to experience the oneness that always is. There are many ways to wake to oneness. It doesn't have to be so exotic or so strange. This moment right here, right now, is a moment to open your senses. What do you see? If you look around the room, what is the most beautiful thing you see? And you rest your attention on it, and then you notice the way the light plays on it, the colors, and you notice what it sounds like, what it feels like. You open the aperture of beauty. You let yourself feel a sense of wonder. Perhaps you feel that when you look, into the face of your child, or when the music swells, or when the sun sets, or when you're on the mountain peak, or you're inside of a moment of profound connection when you're holding the hand of another. There are so many ways where the endless talking in our head ceases, and we just peel back the surface and we see the wonder, the mystery that is always there, the connectivity under it all. And these moments, those ordinary moments of wonder that are not throwaway moments, they are not incidental. They are sacred portals into the true nature of things. I think there is a problem with the definition of love in our Western culture. That love is often seen as a feeling, a rush of emotion that comes and goes, ebbs and flows. I think that so much of the movement that I am building and steering and inspiring is about reclaiming love as a force for justice and healing and transformation. And that begins with definition. Love is more than a feeling that comes and goes. Love is sweet labor, fierce, imperfect, demanding a choice that we make every day for one another. When you think about your deepest relationships, your children, your parents, your friends, your family, you have the feeling of being in love. But to live that love is what you do for each other, how you care for each other, how you show up for each other, what you pour into one another. So I began today with our scripture readings that said, let love be genuine, love one another with mutual affection, extend hospitality to strangers, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably, with all, and I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then I shared that the struggle that I struggle, putting the love your neighbor as yourself commandment into action, due to an internal tension between working for justice, being an action against others who actively oppress, but having to love them at the same time. Bishop Michael Curry shared about learning to stand up and kneel and how both actions can be true at the same time. This can lead us to a more authentic version of ourselves in the image of Jesus, where it is possible to make room for others who think differently. This becomes possible through seeing God's love in others and in ourselves. We then heard a description of the Sikh faith as another way to think about love and our connection to everyone around us. I found it inspirational, even if I haven't experienced the oneness Valerie described. This is another tool we can use to help move closer to making room for all through the love, God's love, that binds us all. So to complete this message, I want to circle back to Bishop Curry's closing remarks in his podcast as a way to remind us all that even though we don't always make room for everyone in our hearts, there is hope, and we should never give up on the power of God's love. Bishop Curry ends by saying, "Remember that passage? It was John's Last Supper, probably in chapter 15 and 16, where Jesus at one point says, 'You know, there are many more things that I could tell you before I go.' And then he says, 'But you can't handle them now.' God wasn't finished with those disciples in that apostolic community, and God's not finished with us in the 21st century. God's got more to teach us and more to show us. We see God's love in the face of Jesus. We need to look for the face of Jesus in everyone. We need to see God's love in ourselves and in everyone around us." Amen. Now, if you'll please rise for our next hymn from the New Century Hymn number 498, "Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love."
The way we have.
Getty for two great hymns. Please be seated. So now it's our time, corporate prayer, where we share our joys and concerns. Anyone able to come up and take the microphone around? So I'll get us going, of course, with a prayer for Emma Breinig and her friend Ian with the loss of their whole home. We will definitely keep them in our prayers. Anyone else?
I'd just like to pray for continued healing for Rhonda and also all the people that have been in our prayers for healing. Many, some are here today, and some still haven't been able to get back. So I just, you know, rather than name a bunch of names, let's just pray for everybody that's healing.
Anyone else?
I saw the face of God in Scott today. Thank you for leading us today in worship.
You are welcome, sir. Thank you. Okay. Please join me in prayer. Holy One, please hear our prayers that we share with you today. We pray for Emma Breinig and Ian for the total loss of their home. We pray that they will find solace, they will feel your presence during their suffering. We know that they will make it through, that they were safe from the fire, but we pray for those in our community to step up and help them rebuild. We also pray for healing for all who are recovering from surgeries. We pray that your presence is felt by those in leadership in our country, that they feel your love and are moved to work in positive ways that bring love to all of our neighbors. And now, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. The words are in your bulletin and also on the screen. Holy Parent, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. Oh, sorry. I'm ahead of myself. It's now time for our offering. Sorry, you can sit. I apologize. I have a poem that I have been reading every time I've been up here to introduce transition us into our offering, and I'd like to do that one more time. It's called When Giving Is All We Have by Alberto Rios. We give because someone gave to us. We give because nobody gave to us. We give because giving has changed us. We give because giving could have changed us. We have been better for it. We have been wounded by it. Giving has many faces. It is loud and quiet, big, though small, diamond in wood nails. Its story is old, the plot worn, and the pages too. But we read this book anyway, over and again. Giving is first and every time, hand to hand, mine to yours, yours to mine. You gave me blue and I gave you yellow. Together we are simple green. You gave me what you did not have and I gave you what I had to give. Together we make something greater than the difference. Remain standing and join in our gratitude prayer. Open our hearts, loving God, to receive all you give us, and then open our hands to give it all away. Shape us into generous people. Teach us to live by your grace, and for those you love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now please join in our closing hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and the words are on the screen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, and welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It is good to see you here. I actually remembered it this time. Please, at some point this evening, sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book that should be at the end of every row of pews. Thank you for doing that. That helps us to serve you better. It is still the season of Epiphany, and we are still having our Epiphany moments every week. If you were having heart surgery, and your doctor were to tell you, the person operating on you were to tell you, congratulations, you're my first patient, probably wouldn't be all that excited, right? A little more nervous.